From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Changing the station is strictly prohibitive. Live from WGBB 1240, Long Island's oldest radio station, it's time for...
Listen up. Jesus is on the air. Notice I don't shout. I'm very gentle.
Yes, you are, Palmer. You know? Yes, you are.
But there's a fire inside of me that you can't see, buddy.
I know. It's always there.
Listeners, we're so happy to have you with us again today. Even though you've been ordered not to change the station, I want you to know we have secret police all over Long Island. And for those three stations, three people who are listening, we're going to break into their home and take their radio away from them.
Please, we're not nut jobs. We're just two young kids in love with Jesus, and we just want to spread that love all over wherever we go. Well, and that was Dr. Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo.
And we have?
Michael Rialli.
And Michael Rialli is a friend of Padre Pio since birth. And we're going to hear a lot about his story, and we're going to jump right in, Michael. We're just going to ask you, how did Padre Pio become a part of your life?
Padre Pio was part of my life. I'd say from the moment I was born. My parents had a very difficult time when my dad came out of the Army, met my mom. They got married right away, and my mother had two very difficult pregnancies. My dad was a big guy, 6 foot plus, and my mother was a 5 foot one, barely 100 pounds. And after having my sister, who was a large baby, a cesarean, and then my brother, who also was a cesarean, she was told she wasn't capable of bearing children anymore. And my father was from a large family, and after the birth of his youngest sister, my mother ended up getting pregnant again. That's all they really told me about that. And when she went to the doctor insisted that she was just not capable of bearing any more children. And though they visited many, many doctors, the story was that they had to terminate this pregnancy somehow. They had to do things to induce miscarriage if she hoped to survive. Mother of two young children, she was afraid, and she did listen to what the doctors had said. She drank oils and took hot baths with salt and did all kinds of exercises and whatnot to induce this miscarriage. But then when she felt movement within her, well, she just broke down and cried. And being the only child, she went to the only person she could talk to, which was her mother. And her mother was from a little town in Italy called Pietrelcina. And there was a young Franciscan priest who held the stigmatas, who today we all know as Padre Pio, and she had her sister go to Padre Pio and ask for his intercession. And it was then that he said to her that she should put her faith in God by praying the rosary and by just enduring, you know, the pregnancy and stop doing what she was doing. And so she decided to do that. And as the days went by, the baby grew, but at least she was at peace. And this was the part of the story that everyone knows about. At the time of the pregnancy, her aunt, her name was Lucia Iadanza, who was a spiritual daughter of Padre Pio, was up where Padre Pio was in a place called San Giovanni Rotondo. And while praying, Padre Pio came out and he spoke to her very boldly. In Italian, he'd say something like, Lucia, ma che succede, which means, what are you doing? Because it was very late at night. It was wintertime. It was very cold. And it was actually, I believe, the feast of a Lady of Lourdes. It was February 11th. And she said, well, this is the special night that my only niece is going to try to give birth to this baby. And the odds are not very good that she'll survive. So Padre Pio paused for a minute and said, you know, there's nothing to worry. Why don't you just go home? He said, but Padre Pio, you don't seem to understand what's going on. And he insisted. He said, no. He said, the baby will be born. In fact, it's a boy. And then the pause, he said, and they're going to name him my favorite name, Michael. So Lucia right away came back to Padre Pio and says, Padre Pio, but how could you be sure? He says, I've seen these things. And then he stopped as if he had said too much. And then he scolded her again and said, if I recall this correctly, Stangalagali, which means I'll choke your neck like a chicken if you don't stop talking. And she left and wrote a letter describing all that had happened. And when Padre Pio was beatified, we tried to find this letter, but my mother said in moving, she just discarded it. But in the letter that actually dated February 11th, and my birth was February 12th, she said it was going to be a healthy baby boy. And back home, my dad, who wasn't really a big believer in anything, went to many, many doctors and kind of fought with my grandmother, who told my mother not to worry, to pray, I guess as they say, pray, hope, and don't worry. And of all the doctors, he picked his friend, a Dr. Gilman, who was his army buddy, to perform the surgery. And he was there with another doctor. And during the surgery, Dr. Gilman, when he came out of the surgery, said he tried doing cutting in one area, and he ended up cutting someplace else. He had two doctors there to witness because it was a very complicated cesarean section. And it turned out that the baby was born healthy and fine. And when he came out of the operating room, of course, you know, coming from an old Italian family, they tell me every relative I had was in the hospital, especially my grandmother, who was constantly devoted to Padre Pio. When he came out of the surgery, the doctor went up to my grandmother and said, who was the name of that priest you were talking about? And she said, Padre Pio. And the first doctor said it was an absolutely brilliant birth because the doctor did an incision totally opposite of where he normally does. And Dr. Gilman came to my grandmother and said, you know, I'm beginning to believe in Padre Pio myself. Mm. He said, I wanted to cut in one area and end up cutting someplace else. He says, I felt as if there was a hand guiding my wrist. Mm. And the funny thing about it, I guess God does this often. They say like the wisest of men are but fools before God. Dr. Gilman, who said he started to believe in Padre Pio, was actually Jewish. So everyone applauded him and laughed at that. And when I was born, everything was fine. Just to continue that story real quick about Padre Pio, years later, I had contracted tuberculosis. The story goes on. My mother always felt as if that tuberculosis experience happened as a result of her trying to get rid of the baby. And let me just tell you real quick, by today's standards, I definitely would not be here because many, many specialists had told my mom that she was not capable of bearing children. And this whole thing was somewhat of an accident. But after, when I was about 4 years old, they left me with a babysitter, and as a result, I had tuberculosis. Back then, tuberculosis was like having AIDS or something. There was really no cure. Penicillin had just come out, and I was coughing so much that I actually tore a hole in my lung. Again, my mother was determined that she'd lose me as a baby, all because of this terrible experience she had at my birth, not wanting to have this child. So in 1957, they decided to take a trip back to Italy to visit Padre Pio. And again, my father was not a big believer. When he went to Padre Pio, the story is in the book they wrote, Padre Pio was a cloistered monk, and women were not allowed to go into the monastery, but he would come out. My aunt, who was very close to Padre Pio, picked me up and held me before Padre Pio, and Padre Pio turned around and said, oh, this is the famous Miguel, you know, famoso Migueluch, you know, famous little Michael. And he placed his hand over my lungs. And when we went back to America, the doctor had x-rayed me. They said my little coolie, my little rear end, looked like a pincushion because I had gotten so many shots of penicillin. When they x-rayed me back, there was no mark, and the hole in my lung was gone completely. Wow. And the doctor was very annoyed. They said, this is not the baby that we x-rayed before. Give me the baby that we had x-rayed with the tuberculosis. And they said, no, this is the baby. And ever since then, there's never been a sign of TB in me. So that was two occasions where Padre Pio's intervention had actually performed miracles. And I'll just tell you the third part of the story to end it real quick.
There's no rush. Story's fascinating.
My dad now, you would think, would be convinced, but he was, he was convinced in 57 when he saw the tuberculosis. Padre Pio had paused at one point and pointed at him in a group of men. And when he came back, he saw my grandfather now. These are very hard-working people. They had a construction business with trucks, and my father worked with my grandfather, and every year they would rotate. Each one would take a vacation and go to Italy. And he told my grandfather, you've got to see this Padre Pio when you go to Italy. And my grandfather was even tougher than my dad was. He said, well, you know, I'll try. He says, no, promise me you're going to go. So he went to the early 5:30 Mass. After Mass, waited on a long line for confession. And when my grandfather went to see Padre Pio, Padre Pio was very adamant to him. He basically called him by name, called him different names, and said, you don't want to be here. Why do you waste my time? He says, get out of my confessional.
Whoa.
And my grandfather was pretty moved by this. He's a pretty tough guy himself. He says, don't wait, hurry up and move, and called him some names, some of the local names, you know, whatever. And my grandfather left, and he was staying at the St. Michael Hotel. He told me the story many times. And he was packing to leave, but something was burning inside of him. He said he felt so upset. He didn't know if he should have yelled back at him, should have grabbed him, should have done something violent, or what. He said, I can't believe how humiliated I feel. But he didn't know what that feeling was. So he decided the next day to go back. And instead of going to church, he went directly to the confessional. And he stood there for an hour. This is like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, because the Mass was at 5:30. And by the way, the Mass was packed at 5:30, like a subway train. You can barely stand inside. When he went inside, when Padre Pio finally appeared at the confessional, he remembered him. And he said to him, now I'll hear your confession. But if you didn't come back, he says, you would have been damned for all eternity. And believe it or not, he changed my grandfather as well. My grandfather broke down and became a man of God as well. So Padre Pio touched the life of my father, myself, my grandfather. And he continues to do so, even today. And that's some of the experience of Padre Pio. And it's a funny thing. Every time I go back to Italy, I meet other people who have been touched by Padre Pio. I'm like I don't want to say a celebrity, but they treat me very, very well in Pietrelcina, because my aunt was very, very holy and very close to Padre Pio. And now that the whole world knows about Padre Pio, because the town was all praying at my birth, they all kind of knew who I was, and they always invite me in to drink their homemade wine and things like that. And I can go on forever with this, but I'll tell you one more story. When Padre Pio was beatified, I went up to a place called Piana Romana. This is the farm section of Pietrelcina, where the people in Pietrelcina used to live in the town. Then they would walk up to their campagna, their farms, to farm. Then they'd go back home into the town. My aunt Lucia Iadanza, who grew up with Padre Pio, their farms were next to each other. So in Piana Romana is where her land was, so we always visit there as well. And I met this gentleman who was a doctor, and he said to me, I don't speak Italian, but my wife does. He said, you had your first communion by Padre Pio. Oh, yes, and by the way, my dad brought me back my first communion in 1963 because of all these experiences. But this doctor came to me and says, you had your first communion by Padre Pio. He says, well, I was married by him. And he had a story to tell as well. He said when he was married, he was so excited that he grabbed the glove, the hand of Padre Pio, to kiss it, and got blood, the blood of Padre Pio, on his upper lip. And Padre Pio, kidding around, said to him, oh, you bit me. Well, why did you bite me? And everyone laughed. Many years passed by, and he needed an operation on, I believe, his kidney or something. And he was a doctor, as I said, himself. And in the operation, in the hospital that Padre Pio built, the Casa del Suffragio, the House of the Suffering, it's a huge hospital right next to the church in San Giovanni Rotondo. Padre Pio happened to be coming by in the pre-op and saw him with three other men about to be operated on. And when he walked by, this man yelled out to Padre Pio, Padre Pio, Padre Pio. He came in. And he said again to this fellow, you know, you're a doctor, what are you doing here? He says, no, Padre Pio, I'm very sick. They have to remove one of my organs. I forgot which one it was. And he says, but where is it? Where is this organ? And he pointed to his stomach where the pain was. And again, Padre Pio, oh, I'm sorry, I skipped the best part. He says, Kezuchez, he walked in again and says, Padre Pio, I get his name, Nagoli or something or other. And Padre Pio says, oh, yes, you're the one who bit me. He had remembered 20 years ago the experience of being married. And he says, what are you doing? They all laughed and said, what are you doing here? And he mentioned about his organ. And Padre Pio put his hand on his stomach. And when we went to the pre-op, they x-rayed him again and said, why is this man here? This organs are perfectly fine. Mm. This was a condition that lasted for 15 years. He tried to avoid this operation. So it was not just a one-time thing. This was many, many x-rays have been taken of this part of his body. And this situation definitely did exist. And I believe they were going to use this as one of the proofs of his canonization. But I had met him at the beatification, and he said, your story is good, but I think my story might even be better. And this was the story he had told me. And visiting Petrolcina, I just said, I could go on forever. There's so many small instances where Padre Pio intervened to restore the faith of people, and miracles happened. So he's a very, very powerful saint.
You know, he's alive on Long Island. Because I have a client who was suffering from colon cancer, and she was undergoing tremendous number of treatments, and Barbara Balestrini.
Yes.
And
lovely woman.
And as one night she had given up all hope, and she couldn't take it anymore, and somehow she was told to get out of bed and get on her knees. And she got on her knees, and she looked up, she says, at the curtains, and there was Padre Pio right before her. And from that moment on, everything turned around. You know?
Absolutely, John. And John, you were correct in saying that Padre Pio is in Long Island. You remember Anthony Farina?
Yeah, sure.
Who he cured of cancer. Anthony gave Padre Pio a lift, picked him up
in
the street, and took him somewhere, and he put his hands on his stomach. And before he knew it, he didn't even know who Padre Pio was. And when he went back to the doctor, he was totally cured. And when he went into his daughter's house, she had a picture of Padre Pio. And he said, that's the guy I gave the lift to. Mm-hmm. That's the guy that put his hand on my stomach. Mm-hmm. Was Padre Pio.
And
so
you
it
know,
works in such marvelous ways.
When we talk about healing, we have to remember that it's all the love of God passing through that person. And we cannot help but think of Padre Pio, but the words of the song that follow. Father Charles Mangano and Laurie, I love you, Lord. Listen, this is like the people coming to Padre Pio. And listen, this is you coming to Padre Pio now, asking for his intercession and his healing love.
I need you.
Place your needs before Padre Pio and ask him to intercede for you. He will. He can bilocate. He can go all over Long Island over these airwaves. Invite him in. Invite him in. Beautiful rendition is on their album, The Scriptural Rosary. Beautiful set of albums, songs, discs, and Father Charles and Laurie have songs like that on it as well. You should pick it up. It's just beautiful. You know, Padre Pio is such an unusual saint. He doesn't follow the rules.
Yeah.
And he healed before.
Never did.
I know. He healed before he died. And after he died. And Tony, I wonder who your saint of the day is going to be.
Take a guess, Dr. Palmer.
Okay, go ahead.
But Padre Pio.
They say he's a saint for the 20th century.
Yes,
he absolutely
to
is.
Be tough.
And he's been all our lifetime.
Yes, these are tough times.
Saint Padre Pio, by the way, is the only priest in Catholic history, to the best of my knowledge, that bore the stigmata of the five wounds of Jesus Christ. He's also blessed by God with gifts of discernment of the spirits, prophecy, healing, bilocation, and more. He was able to read through the hearts of the people that went to his confession, as Michael said. And he had no bones about saying, I'm not giving you absolution because you don't deserve it yet. And he's done that to many, many people. But, regardless, his confessional lines was tremendous. You maybe had to spend all day online to have him hear your confession. He was a powerful intercessor for us in our prayers. He was born not as Padre Pio, but he was born and given the name Francesco Forgione. Forgione's a very common name in my neighborhood. In Italy, on May 25th, 1887. And he was baptized May 26th. Guess who was born on May 26th, Palmer?
You.
Me.
In 1887?
No, but I was born on May 26th. His feast day is September 23rd. That's the day that he died. Guess whose anniversary it is on September 23rd?
Michael's.
Mine.
No, I didn't guess. I couldn't have guessed that.
That's wonderful.
And he's the patron saint of civil defense volunteers and Catholic adolescents. Palmer's getting me nervous now. His siblings were older brothers, Michael, and three sisters, one of which became a nun. Two other children died in infancy. Pio stated that by the time he was 5 years old, he had already made the decision to dedicate his entire life to God at 5 years old. At five, I didn't even know they knew about God.
My aunt grew up with him. And she
really?
Says she can remember playing with children, that if someone used foul language or said something bad, he'd run into the church.
Really?
He couldn't be around.
He's also said to have begun inflicting penances on himself and to have slept as a stone with his pillow in order to give penance. And he was sleeping on a stone floor.
Well, these were the followings of St. Francis, who he loved.
Who he loved,
by the way, St. Francis was the only other priest recognized by the Vatican who had the actual stigmatas of Christ, but he wasn't a priest.
Yeah, he wasn't.
I was just going to say that. Yes. But he wasn't ordained a priest.
He wasn't ordained a priest.
Yes. He took the word out of my mouth.
I'm sorry.
Bombs get me nervous here. As a youth, Francesco reported that he had experienced heavenly visions and ecstasies. In 1897, he had completed 3 years of public school, and he was drawn to the life of a friar after listening to a young friar who was at that time seeking donations in the countryside. When he told his parents that he wanted to be a friar, they tried to find out if their son was eligible, but they were told that he wasn't eligible because his education was not sufficient. So his father went to the United States in order to earn money to send him to school, and he did. And so in honor of St. Pius V, patron saint of the town where he was born, by the way, he took the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, and he traveled by ox cart during his 6 years of study to go to school. That's how determined he was. He became ill and was permitted to remain with his family until he was ready for his habit. He then was ordered to return to his community life and went to Giovanni Rotonda, where there were 7 friars, and he remained there until his death, except for military service. By the way, he was in the military, but he only served 187 days because he was very unhappy in the military, and he did get ill, and they discharged him. According to the director of his monastery, Pio was afflicted with a number of illnesses constantly. He suffered from a grave intestinal illness. He vomited. He had pains in his stomach. He suffered from insomnia, exhaustion, fainting spells, and terrible migraine headaches. He was also seen by one of Pio's friars. He claimed to have seen him in his ecstasy, levitating above the ground. His health continuously grew worse and began to suffer from asthma, bronchitis, kidney stones with frequent abdominal pains. He also suffered from gastritis and ulcers, inflammations of the eyes and nose, and he was operated for cancer on his ear and received treatment, and he was successfully cured. His followers also believed that he was attacked by the devil, who used diabolical tricks in order to increase Pio's torments. They included apparitions of an angel of light and the alterations of destruction of letters that he received from his spiritual director, Augustine. He confirmed this is when the devil appeared as girls, dancing girls, in front of him. And he also appeared the devil as a spiritual father, as a guardian angel, as St. Francis. Padre Pio states that the devil was not able to influence him at all, even with these false apparitions. And so I guess that's why the church is so diligent on giving okays to these apparitions. And so he remained patient in the midst of, and he was given a very hard time by the church, by the way. He remained patient in the midst of these trials because of his firm belief that Jesus, Mary, his guardian angel, St. Joseph, and St. Francis, who were all imitated by the devil, were always with him and helped him against the devil and the devil's worst attacks.
On the subject of the devil, I'm sorry to cut you off.
That's great.
They said that the devil visits us today, but we don't recognize him.
Yeah.
Because our faith is too weak.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And they said Padre Pio, whenever he felt as if the person was either the devil or had the spirit of the devil within him, he would say words like, "Jesus, I trust in thee,"
yeah,
to his face out loud.
Yeah.
And that usually sent the evil spirit running.
Yes,
and he says today we should do the same.
Absolutely.
That if we feel confronted by evil, we should just say a simple prayer, "Jesus, I trust in thee."
And don't argue with that being, whatever it may be. If you start arguing, you give it life. Just say Jesus.
Oh,
say in the name of
know.
Jesus,
you
and
that.
You get rid of him.
Yeah. And well, he goes away. They say they're much more intelligent than
we
are.
Well, you know what I also learned in my prayer life? That Satan does not really, truly hear or feel the presence of God. And when he looks at people like us in this room, Trevor and the other, who follow God so closely, he thinks we're crazy because he doesn't feel God. He never can.
That's our only defense.
That's it. And use his name. Use Jesus. And he runs like hell to hell.
And we're dealing with a diabolical event here.
It's real.
Devil.
It's real.
I believe today more than ever, those diabolical spirits roam the world for the ruination of souls.
Oh,
and you know where it's coming out strongly now, in pornography. Pornography.
Oh, sure. He did it against Padre Pio.
Okay.
I didn't tell you the whole story about that.
Padre Pio called the television a scatola, which is a box with the devil inside.
Yes.
And when the TV came out, that's how we referred to it.
And if you see kids, all they're doing is texting. They're not even communicating with each other.
By the way, Palmer, your speaking
is
not inflicted on my time, you know.
I know, I'm sorry, but that's all
right. On September 20th, he was sleeping. And he saw what he believed to be Jesus appearing from, dripping from blood from his hands and his feet. He was in terrible pain. And the vision disappeared. And he became aware that his hands, feet, and side were dripping blood.
Mm.
Pio was in agony. He complained he was dying of pain. His wound was examined by physicians and were unexplainable because of the wounds. He asked that Jesus take away not the wounds, not the pain, but the outward signs which caused him embarrassment and unbearable humiliation at that time. He said the pain was so intense that he felt that he was dying on the cross. Those close to him reported that he began to manifest several spiritual gifts, including immediate healing, bilocations, levitation, prophecy, miracles, the ability to look through people's hearts and souls. One instance was reported that he once lasted 20 days only on the Eucharist, so he was able to survive without eating. His experiences were without controversies. He was subject to numerous investigations and considered by his superiors as being a little out of it. And riots occurred when they wanted to transfer him to another place. At one point, he was prevented from publicly performing his priestly duties, such as hearing confessions and saying masses. I don't know if anyone knew that. And he was put to torment. And he was actually being reprimanded by his superiors. In 1933, Pope Pius XI ordering that his order be reversed, the ban on Padre Pio should be reversed because he received bad information. In 1934, he was again allowed to return to his priestly duties. His health deteriorated in the 1960s, in spite of which he continued spiritual work. On September 1968, 50 years after he received the stigmata, he got gravely ill. He grew very weak. Early in the morning, on September 23rd, 1968, my anniversary, He made his last confession and renewed his vows and repeatedly said the Hail Mary out loud till the end approached. And he said, Jesus, Mary. And at the end, he saw his two mothers. He said he saw his biological mother and Mother Mary. And his last breath, he whispered, Maria, Maria. And he was buried on September 23rd at a mass where over 100,000 people, 100,000 people came to say goodbye. He cured many people, even a dear friend of Pope John Paul II before he became the Pope. And it was John Paul II that beatified. And I believe it was the year 2002, because I was in Rome at the time.
Yes.
And so that's the amazing story of Padre Pio Palma.
And that friend was Matthew Colella. And Matthew was a little boy who was really dying of meningitis. And a mother called the brother, who was at the monastery in San Giovanni, and asked him to go to the grave of Padre Pio and pray for him, the son. And he did, and the son was healed.
Palmer, you're on top of the game. How did you know I was going to say that?
I didn't. But it's just wonderful to know that that actually happened. You know, to become a saint, you have to have two miracles that can be attributed to you after your death. And the two that they used was Matteo, but the other one was, I'm trying to get a name now, Mrs. DiMartino, who had all sorts of inflammations in her body and was going to have to go for surgery. A lymphatic gland was leaking and she was just bloated like anything. And again, her family called the brother, and right away, her whole history reversed. She was supposed to have surgery or she would die. And the doctors, two doctors, looked at it and said, this is something that we cannot explain. So those two. The first one, and Mrs. DiMartino, was for the blessed, and Matthew Caleo was for the sainthood. Isn't that really just totally
unbelievable? I have an older brother named Mario. He burnt his leg severely, third-degree burns. And they had done skin grafting, but the grafting wasn't taking. So he was at Terrace Heights Hospital in Hollis. And they had him on a bed of ice. And the doctors, or three doctors, deciding whether or not to amputate his leg. And he was just a young boy. He must have been about 7 or 8 years old. And the same story they wrote to Padre Pio. And Padre Pio sent him a napkin or a cloth with his blood on it.
Mm.
And he said, just have the nurse, because we weren't even allowed in the room, we were afraid of infection, lay this on his leg. And that night he got up out of bed and walked. And the nurse came in and they were frantic. They said, what's going on? You know, what happened? Apparently, after that experience, the grafting took for the first time. This was the first time they did skin grafting.
Mm.
And that was one of the miracles, but they couldn't get it written down so they could use it during his beatification.
Mm. By the way, can I mention, Palmer, that the glove, the Padre Pio with the blood on it, is on top of our petitions?
No, I did.
And we prayed with the glove on for our petitions. And
yes.
So I think, Michael, we're so blessed to have you here with this relic.
And Michael, you have a prayer group that meets once a month. And maybe you tell the listeners about it. Maybe you'll get a few more people.
Oh, wonderful. Well, it's at the Holy Name of Jesus Parish in Woodbury, New York. That's the church directly behind the big Geico building. We meet every first Friday. From 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. we have adoration. Every week we invite a different priest from a different parish to come and celebrate with us.
And do you have Mass?
Yeah, then we have Mass following. So from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. is adoration. We say the Rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and then we have Mass following. It's really called the Padre Pio Youth Mass because we have music. And it's a meeting place for young people. When we first started, in fact, we had some very famous priests visit us. Father Groeschel was there. Monsignor Casada, who was the chaplain over at One Police Plaza in New York City, and many other priests. And when they first started, there was only a handful of people. But now, it's a meeting place. It's a Friday night out for young, you know, single Catholic young men and women. And also, everyone's invited. And then, of course, after Mass, they have a social hour where we have pizza and whatnot, and people actually stay. So it's a very nice evening. And it's
Sounds
at the
wonderful.
Holy Name of Jesus Church, as I said, off Woodbury Road in Woodbury.
That sounds wonderful.
And by the way, I know the Messina. He's very dynamic.
Oh, yes.
Very Monsignor. Dynamic.
Who's?
Messina, you mentioned Collada.
Monsignor Collada, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Father Rafferty is the pastor there, and he allows us, he has been allowing us to use the church for the past several years. As I said, this meeting of the Padre Pio prayer group, again, the first Friday of every month, it's open to all, is magnificent. We have people coming all the way from Riverhead, all over the island, to be there. So it's a great occasion for young and old.
You know, since you're talking about young people, and we're talking about God's love healing, you know, God's love can move mountains. So listeners, put your petitions out there right now. Ask for whatever you want. And go through Padre Pio. Celine Dion. You know, in preparation for the show, I was told Padre Pio is going to be here. And I'm hearing all sorts of stuff inside of my head. And I'm just going to say what I hear. Martin, you are being healed of homosexuality. Charles, you are being healed of addiction to cocaine. Mary, the pain of abortion is being taken from your heart now. Eileen, I touch you now with hope to overcome your despair. Betty, do not give up. Do not give up. Liz, your dizziness is going to go. We've told you that before, but this is Padre Pio's petition to Jesus. Take away her vestibular activity. I'll have more later. Go ahead, Michael.
You know, you mentioned the prayer group, and I just want to say that the intercession of Padre Pio still happens today. About a year ago, I was always late. I'm usually late. I work late hours, and I'm running to be at the prayer group, and I see this big truck parked in the parking lot. And I promised this fellow I wouldn't mention his name, so I won't. But here's this huge truck in the middle of a parking lot full of cars, and I'm kind of laughing about it. And I go into the church, and this fellow walks out, and I could see he was wearing a uniform. And it was a fellow I had seen before. And he said that anything to do with, I stopped him on the way out, and he said anything to do with Padre Pio, he wanted to be a part of. So I said, why is that? And he said when his son was born, he had a very rare disease. And they never took him home from the hospital from the day he was born. And months had gone by, and the doctors had performed all kinds of tests and small operations on this infant little baby who wasn't developing. He was a premature birth. And finally the doctor said, look, he can't stay in the hospital forever. He's going to have to fight this on his own. Something about, I'm not very scientific, but his waste, his urine was backing back into his body. And I forgot the disease. I'm sorry, I can't remember. But they had him on a machine. And they said, we're going to take him off this kind of life support machine. And we're going to see if he can fight this himself. His body has to perform the functions that we normally do on his own. So he's there with his wife and his mother and the parents and the room full of people. And they're watching this little baby in kind of an incubator. And they're looking at the machines. And all of a sudden, the baby started to die. The machine showed his life support was going and that he wasn't able to fight this. And there was crying and sobbing. And as the baby began to die, the crying became louder and louder. And he finally couldn't take it anymore. And he ran into the bathroom because he didn't want people to see him cry. And he said to me, I fell down on my knees. And when I reached into my pocket to get a handkerchief, out came this picture of this guy. I didn't know who he was. And it was Padre Pio. And he stared at the picture, and he remembered some little old lady said to him, you pray to this guy, because he performs miracles. He said, if you pray to this guy, he says he can help you. So this was a guy who never went to church. He says, I sometimes went to church at Christmas if I wasn't too busy, never even at Easter. He says, I basically, my family, my wife, my parents really weren't that devout. He said, I fell on my knees at that point. And I said, Padre Pio, if you help my son, I'll change the way I live from this moment forward. And when he came out of the bathroom, the baby was still dying. He walked right up to the machine. He pushed through the crowd and stood there. And suddenly, everything started to reverse. Even the doctors were amazed that at that moment, the baby just started to fight back. And as a result, the baby survived. Of course, the doctors didn't believe a word this guy said. He started ranting and raving, holding up the picture of Padre Pio, and everyone just thought he kind of lost his mind at that moment because he was so happy about his son. And the doctor said, I want to see this baby every 2 weeks in my office. And then it became every month, then became every 3 months. Then became twice a year. He said it took so long for these doctors to realize that this was actually a miracle from Padre Pio. He's even to this day, his wife still questions him But he said, no matter what, anytime he sees anything, Padre Pio, he runs there, and he brings his son sometimes, who's a little rascal. He's got so much energy. God bless him. And he said to me again, he says, do you know who Padre Pio is? Because I really believe in this guy. He's telling this to me. So it's kind of funny. We became friends over the years now.
But isn't it wonderful to get confirmations like that? That Padre Pio, if you work, he doesn't do the healing. Mm-hmm. He's an instrument of petitioning for healing. And he will touch anybody who really, truly in their heart says, just what your friend said, I will change my life.
I invite anyone to come to our prayer group who's hearing me now.
Sure.
I hope he's not listening. He might be. But I'll introduce you to him. He works out in Riverhead, Long Island, which is like exit 60-something on the expressway, and drives all the way, exit 44, to our prayer group every first Friday just to be there.
Michael, do you bring the gloves to the prayer group?
Yes, me too.
Not
every, usually just about every week.
Do you?
Yeah. How did you get the glove?
History behind the gloves?
This was given to us by Padre Alberto, who used to live with Padre Pio, and he actually wrote one or two books on him. He told the stories about, you mentioned about Padre Pio and the devil. His cell, his room, they called them cells, was right next door to Padre Pio's, and one night he said he heard Padre Pio being thrown against the walls. When he came in, he was on the floor covered with blood, and he said the devil actually was in the room with Padre Pio, kind of beating him up, and he said physically he was all beat up. But when he came back, and he used to stay at our house every couple of years, he gave this to my mother, actually, and said, please make sure you keep this. He said, I feel as if you should have it.
Wow. It's amazing.
We're going to have a little quiet prayer time now. For every listener and every petition that you have, and we're using Holy is His Name, John Michael Talbot's song, which reflects the Magnificat, the surrender of Mary to the will of God. And anyone who is petitioning, that's what we ask. Surrender to the will of God. And He'll do it. He'll give you what He knows is best for you. Praise you, Lord, and we thank you. And I have on my heart Patricia and Jim. I will take care of Patricia, all of your physical ailments, and I will heal your marriage. You've already come to me before, and I'm coming to both of you now. Praise you, Lord. There's a Maria whose heart is broken, who will be touched by my love and healed by my love. And we tell you now, Maria, your deepest wish is to be close to us. And you are never as close to us as you are now with your broken heart. And we promise you, we will take the pain of your broken heart away. And we will restore you to a new life that you will live our way. Our way. Praise you and thank you, God. For the young child who has been afflicted with cancer, David, do not be afraid. And your mother, Linda, do not be afraid. I am with you. The cancer is not returning. And Padre Pio has been assigned to watch over David. So you just hold on to your hope and be aware that he's there. And he's saying, Padre Pio is saying, I'm here right now. This guy who's talking doesn't have an Italian accent, but that doesn't make any difference. I can speak in English and you can hear me in Italian. I not only can bilocate, I can bi-speak. You know, so you just be aware that I truly am sending my love out to you over these airways all over Long Island. And any of you who are under addiction needs, and anyone who is stuck in pornography, I will break that stickiness if you let me. If you let me. Remember, I can read your heart. And if you are not ready, then you're turning me away. So now, just be still. Get ready. Say yes. That's all you have to do. Come in, even if you don't believe, even if you think these guys on the radio are crazy, that doesn't make any difference. Just say yes, and we'll be with you. We'll lead from age to age and holy. Padre Pio, we thank you for being here. Thank you, Michael. We thank you for being here. Peter, we thank you for being here. And poor Trevor has no choice, but we thank him for being here too. We're going into the closing song.
We love you all.
Send your petitions to us.
Listen up at AOL.com.
Listen up 1240 AM at AOL.com.
That's our email. Listen up. At AOL.com.
Amen. And we want people to pray. Pray for evangelization all over Long Island, young and old.
And Sal, you're in our hearts. Joan, you're in our hearts. Joey, you're in our hearts. And our prayers go out to each and every one of you.
He's telling me to tell you to tell Joni, don't worry.
Joni, don't worry. We love you, Joan.
See you next week.
Keep smiling, babe.